Hello, this is David of Sparkle Stories, and welcome to the podcast. Well, there are some big things ahead in Sparkle Land. Big things. Many of them are going to be very interesting to the moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles out there, but several will be very exciting for all listeners. Yes, there are new stories. Yes, new series. New ways to listen. And yes, a mobile app. But I'm not going to get into that now. Just stay tuned, and over the next few weeks, you are going to hear more about it. So excited. Now, this week's story is another one of our series of Valentine's stories. It comes from our Martin and Sylvia series, and it's called Dalmatian Valentine. It is a story about something you might be familiar with, getting a little tired of making valentines. Well, as you can tell from the title, their answer to that Valentine fatigue is not what you might expect. There is a little story within a story that manages to tie together Valentines, medieval times, and yes, Dalmatians. Enjoy. Dalmatian Valentine. Martin and Sylvia live in a tall house with lots of windows. From their second-story loft bedroom, they can see their entire backyard, with the tall maple and oak trees on one side and the horse fence that borders the Brown's farm on the other. It was nearly Valentine's Day where Martin and Sylvia live, and brother and sister were very busy making beautiful Valentine cards for their friends and family. Their work table was covered in paper, different shades of pink and red and white paper, along with bits of paper lace, colorful ribbon, and a variety of glitters. Martin enjoyed taking paper and drawing stripes or spots or just scribbles and then cutting little hearts out to glue on blank paper. Sylvia enjoyed making little drawings of people dancing or sitting next to each other or eating sweets or giving each other flowers. For the last 2 days, they looked forward to making Valentine cards and delighted in making every single one different and unique in all the world. Sylvia made a horse Valentine card for her friend Sophia because Sophia loved horses. Martin made a tiny book Valentine card for Charlotte the librarian and a Valentine card that looked like a cookie for Jerry the baker. They had been working hard for several days and had already made 16 of the total number of Valentine cards on their list, but they still had several to go, and their enthusiasm was starting to wane. "How many more do I have to make?" asked Sylvia with a sigh. "Might be a good time for a break," said Daddy from the kitchen. "It's just hard to think of ideas now," said Martin, who leaned back in his chair. "Well, the cards you made so far are really wonderful," said Daddy with a smile. "So colorful, and each one is perfect for the person you made it for. Take a break, and come on over here for a snack." Brother and sister each took a breath, and as they approached the kitchen stool, Martin brightened. "I know. We could go to the library and get more Valentine books. Then we can have some more ideas." "Yeah," said Sylvia, who reached up her arms in a cheer. "Valentine stories. Maybe Daddy can read a Valentine book while we make our cards." They both looked up at Daddy with a mixture of delight and hope, and Daddy smiled. "Great idea, and I agree. I bet it would give you a lot of ideas for Valentine's, but I have a bunch of projects I need to finish right here. And besides, it's actually starting to snow pretty hard out there, and we don't want to be out on the road if we can help it." Martin looked out the window and saw the sky filling with big puffy flakes of falling snow. "Well, what about Mama? She's at her office. Can she pick up some books?" "I think she's actually going to make it a short day today," said Daddy. "We don't want her stuck in town." This was disappointing to brother and sister, and they were quiet as they took bites of the nut butter granola bars Daddy made for them. "I'm just getting a little tired of making cards," said Martin. "Yeah, tons and tons and tons of red hearts," said Sylvia. "I want to make something else." "Well," said Daddy, who gave it some thought, "what about using different colors?" Martin frowned, and Sylvia cocked her head. "Like what?" she asked. "Well, maybe yellow and green Valentines, or no color, and just make them black and white." "Black and white?" asked Sylvia with amazement. "Nobody would want a black and white Valentine card." "I'll bet you a zebra would like a black and white Valentine," said Daddy, tilting his head up. "Or a penguin." "Or a skunk," said Martin with a smile. "But I don't know any zebras or penguins or skunks," said Sylvia softly. "So I don't think I can send anyone a black and white Valentine." "You know Elroy," said Martin. "You could send a Valentine to him." "Elroy?" asked Sylvia. "The dog at the fire station, remember?" said Martin, who then looked at Daddy. "What are those dogs called again?"
"Dalmatians," said Daddy with a nod. "I'd forgotten his name was Elroy."
"Elroy," repeated Sylvia with a smile. She blinked as she remembered Elroy, the black and white spotted Dalmatian dog that lived with the firefighters downtown. She remembered his sweetness and, of course, his spots. "Why do Dalmatians have spots?" she asked as she took another bite.
"I'm not sure," said Daddy.
"If we could go to the library, we could get a book about them," said Martin with a slight frown.
"Or," said Daddy, leaning toward him with a smile, "we could just use our imagination. We don't always need a book to tell us the answers. There's a man who was named Rudyard Kipling, and he imagined reasons for a zebra getting her stripes and a camel getting his hump, and he turned those imaginations into a book called The Just So Stories. So, we could imagine how a Dalmatian got his spots."
"Yeah," said Sylvia, who liked the sound of this. "We could do a story, like we do in the car where we all tell it, when one starts the story and then the next person goes and then the next, and the story keeps changing a little bit."
"Oh, and we can make it about Dalmatians," said Martin. "That'll be fun."
"And Valentines," said Sylvia.
"Now what's that?" asked Daddy, not sure he understood.
"It can be a Valentine story about a Dalmatian, and you can start it, Daddy, while we work on our cards."
Sylvia nodded her head confidently, and then got up from the kitchen counter and brought her plate to the sink.
"Good idea," said Martin, who followed.
Daddy frowned a little and then tilted his head. "A Valentine story about a Dalmatian. Well, if it will help with your work, I can start one." Then Daddy went to the sink and started doing the dishes. "Are you both ready?" he asked, looking over his shoulder.
"Yes,"
called Martin and Sylvia from the table. Sylvia took a white sheet of paper and a black crayon and prepared to draw. Martin took a sheet of black paper and started cutting out little circles.
"All right," said Daddy as he started to soap up the dishes. "Now, Dalmatia is actually a place. I think it's close to Italy along the sea. And a long time ago, it was a great land, a huge land, beautiful and rocky.
As Daddy told the story, he enjoyed the feeling of the hot water in the dish tub. He imagined the rocky coast of Dalmatia and wondered if it was a cold place, in contrast to the soothing, warm feel of the dishwater. Martin and Sylvia, meanwhile, sat still as they listened. Both had faraway looks in their eyes as they, too, imagined the coast.
Now, once upon a time, there was a great queen of Dalmatia. She was a strong queen, a practical queen who was steady and sure in her rule. Because she liked things to be solid and sensible, she was not one for bright colors or fancy decorations. No, she liked dark, simple colors, especially black. The queen's dresses were all very dark colors, and the uniforms of her guards were almost black. And between the dark sea and the dark rock and the dark brick that was made from dark clay, everything in the queen's land was dark. Even the sheep in the pastures, dark. Now, that didn't mean it was a gloomy place. No, quite the contrary. It just wasn't at all very fancy.
Daddy was now quiet, as he waited for either Martin or Sylvia to take up the story.
"Can you keep going?" asked Martin. "Is there a dog in the story?" asked Sylvia.
"Well, I thought we were going to pass the story around, so I stopped," said Daddy.
"Can you get to the Valentine part first?" asked Sylvia. "Or the dog part?"
"Okay, a little bit more," said Daddy as he dried his hands. "But remember, when you're using your imagination, there's no telling where the story will go, so let's see." And then he hung up the towel and went into the living room. As he told this part of the story, he tidied up the wood chips at the bottom of the hearth woodpile. Cleaning up the chips and dust made him feel good, and he smiled as he told the next part of the story.
So, across the sea was a very different land. It was a place called Venice, and it was ruled by a king, King Claudio.
"What was the name of the Queen of Dalmatia?" asked Sylvia.
Her name was Queen Dalmia.
"Queen Dalmia?" confirmed Sylvia.
"Yes," said Daddy. And so, back to the King of Venice. He was handsome and charming, and he wore all the nicest clothes, and he had some fine hats. He was a very good dancer, and he could speak different languages, and he even played the flute. Well, King Claudio had never married. And back then, getting married wasn't so much about being in love. It was more like business. Royals wanted to marry into particular families because they had nice land or a lot of money, or they had a fleet of ships. And this was definitely the case with King Claudio. He needed to marry, and he had his sights set on a very large, a very rich land called Dalmatia.
Daddy was then quiet as he waited for Martin and Sylvia to respond.
"Dalmatia?" asked Martin. "Did Claudio want to marry Queen Dalmia?" asked Sylvia, who stood up next to her seat. "The queen who liked everything dark?"
"That's right," said Daddy, who offered a proud smile. It was quiet again, and after a moment, Sylvia asked,
"So did they get married?"
"I don't know," said Daddy. "It is someone else's turn."
Brother and sister huffed at this.
"Can you just tell a little bit more?" asked Martin. "It's a really good story." "Can you just tell the marriage part or the dog part?" asked Sylvia.
Daddy tilted his head forward and was about to answer when they all heard Mama enter the mudroom from outside.
"My word, it is slippery out there," she said.
And then she stomped her snow boots and poked her head into the living room and looked at Daddy.
"Jeannie's car is stuck at the base of her driveway next door. Do you think you could go over and help Zach push it out?"
"Oh, sure," said Daddy, who looked toward the mudroom.
Mama then looked over at brother and sister and smiled. "Are you working on Valentine's?"
Martin nodded slightly, and Sylvia just frowned.
"Daddy was telling a story while we worked. It's right in the middle."
"But now is a good time for someone else to tell the story," Daddy said as he went to the mudroom and put on his boots. "Remember, like the story game we play in the car, you can tell me what happens when I get back from next door."
"Can you tell the next part, Mama?"
asked Sylvia, who got up out of her chair.
"But I don't know what the story is," said Mama, as she put her work things down on the kitchen counter.
"We can tell you," said Martin.
"Yeah, it's right at the beginning," said Sylvia.
And then brother and sister did their best to tell the story thus far.
"But there needs to be a dog in it because it's about Dalmatians, like, what is his name again?"
"Elroy," said Martin, "at the firehouse."
"Yeah, Elroy," said Sylvia. "And it's a Valentine story, too."
"Bye," called Daddy as he headed out the door. "Good luck with the story."
"Thanks," said Mama, who then took a breath in. "Okay, Queen of Dalmatia, King of Venice, a Valentine story, and Dalmatians."
"Yeah," said Sylvia, who happily sat back down.
"This is going to be great," said Martin, who started cutting more black paper circles.
Mama took another breath and moved her work things to the living room coffee table.
"Okay, I think I will start with the queen.
What is her name again?"
"Queen Dalmia," said Sylvia, "and she's not very fancy."
"No, she is not," said Mama, as she plopped down on the couch.
"Well, Queen Dalmia heard that the king was coming, and she knew exactly what to expect. Just like all the other kings and the princes and dukes and earls who had come before, he would expect her to stop everything and entertain him, serve him tea and cakes and talk and talk and talk. But Queen Dalmia was a very busy queen. There was much to do, and she was the only leader of that land. There were the walls to build and sheep to shear, and there were roads to fix, and everyone was waiting on her to tell them what to do. So she sent word to the King of Venice, King Claudio, that she only had an hour to meet with him, and that if he had anything to say to her, he could surely say it in an hour." And then Mama lay down on the couch and put her feet up. She was feeling tired from the morning at the office and then the drive home through the snow. She took a deep breath.
"Well," she continued,
"word reached the king, and he said, 'What? Who does she think I am, a common peddler?' He fussed and fussed, but in the end, he knew that an hour was all he had to woo her."
"Woo?" asked Sylvia. "What is woo?"
"Oh," said Mama, waving her hand over her head for a moment. "It's when someone is trying to get someone else's attention. And there is often wooing when a king wants to marry a queen."
"Oh," said Sylvia with a giggle. "Wooing."
"Yes."
"So," said Mama.
"Remember the dog part," said Sylvia quickly.
"Right, the dog. Okay," said Mama, who narrowed her eyes.
"Well, King Claudio brought with him many gifts. He brought some sweets and pots of flowers and even a few paintings to give her, but he was most excited about one gift in particular."
a dog. Sylvia brightened and looked over at Martin. Martin nodded, and they continued to listen. This dog was perfectly white. Not a single blemish on him, and he wanted this gift to show her how perfect their bond could be, how he would give her the finest things, the most perfect things, the most refined things in the world. So when he learned he only had an hour to woo her, he decided that the dog was his best chance. "I'll give her the dog," he said, "and she will understand." "Well," continued Mama, "his boat arrived, and only the king and the white dog got off. He told his crew and his advisors that he would be back after his hour with the queen, and then perhaps they could give her the rest of the gifts. But then, on his way up the hill toward the queen's castle, he saw something that surprised him." Mama was then quiet. She looked up at the ceiling and saw a gathering of cobwebs in one corner. She was distracted by this and wondered how she could sweep the cobwebs down. She took another deep breath and for a moment thought about all the different things that needed to be done around the house. "What was it?" asked Sylvia. "Sorry?" asked Mama, who was still looking up at the ceiling. "What surprised him?" said Martin. "Oh, yes. Said Mama, who tried to get her head back into the story. "It was the queen. She was working. The king, who was dressed in bright white clothes, leading a bright white dog, looked ahead and saw the queen, and he could not believe his eyes. There she was, the ruler of this land, walking with some common shepherds along the edge of a sheep pen. She was clearly the queen. She had grand clothes, though quite dark for the king's taste, and a crown upon her head, but she was walking on a dirty path alongside several men in dusty work clothes, and she was letting her royal hands actually touch the old fence. Now, such a thing would never have happened in his kingdom. Was he sure that he wanted to marry this woman? But as he watched her, he could clearly see her dedication to the people. She loved her people, and they clearly loved her. Plus, she was very beautiful, so that helped. Yes, he thought to himself, he did want to marry her. But how would he get her attention in only an hour? Well, that was when it happened. Mama was quiet again. Sylvia was quiet. Martin was quiet. All three were wondering, well, what happened? But before Mama could say anything else, the telephone suddenly rang, startling everyone. "Oh, my," said Mama, who then stood up to answer the phone. "But what happened?" asked Sylvia. "Do you have to answer the phone?" asked Martin. "I do, actually," said Mama. "It might be Amy, my assistant. I told her to call if she needed me." Mama then picked up the telephone and listened. Brother and sister waited impatiently. They had to know what happened next in the story. Did the queen have some kind of accident? Did another king arrive? Did a bunch of seagulls suddenly fill the sky? What happened? When Mama finally finished the call, they both asked, "What happened?" "Oh, I forgot to give Amy some things that she needs." "No, in the story," said Sylvia. "What happened in the story? What was startling?" asked Martin. Mama looked at the telephone and then at Martin and Sylvia and took a deep breath in. "Well, I am afraid our story is going to have to wait, because I made a mistake at work and now I have to fix it. This is my work time, and I loved telling my part of the story, but now I have to take care of some business." Brother and sister were very disappointed at this answer. They slouched, and Sylvia shook her head sadly. "Now, what I remember Daddy saying," continued Mama, "is that this is a group story, like we do for car rides. Daddy started it, I continued it, and now I think it is your turn to finish it." Martin and Sylvia looked at Mama, and then at each other. They still felt disappointed. They were both enjoying the story so much, but they considered what Mama said. Sylvia raised her eyebrows, and Martin tilted his head. After a breath, Martin said, "Do you want to?" Sylvia looked over to Mama, who was now setting up her work things on the living room table. "Can you start it?" she asked.
Sure, said Martin.
"Remember," she added as she snuggled back into her chair, "it's the starting part."
"Startling," corrected Martin, who then looked out the window at the falling snow. "And so, suddenly, there was a huge flash of lightning and thunder, boom, 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 and it started to rain really hard. And all the sheep got scared and they started jumping over the fence, and the shepherds ran all around trying to get the sheep, but it was no use. The sheep were all over the place."
Oh, the dog," said Sylvia, waving her hands. "The dog can help get the sheep."
"Yeah," said Martin with wide eyes. "The dog, the king's white dog, shot out and started to round up the sheep, but as he did, he got really dirty, and King Claudio didn't like this because it wasn't clean and perfectly white anymore, so he ran after the dog."
"But he slipped," said Sylvia. "Can he slip?"
"Yes, he did slip," said Martin, "and now he was covered in mud, too. And so he thought, oh, well, the queen won't like me now. I might as well help get the sheep back." So the king and the white dog that was now covered in dark mud got all the sheep rounded up and back into the pen. And both the dog and the king actually had fun. They enjoyed it. And then the king smiled and closed the gate, and now he and his dog just stood there in the mud.
Brother and sister looked at each other for a moment and wondered who was going to speak next. Finally, Sylvia said,
"So did he go see the queen?"
Said Martin, who narrowed his eyes a little.
"Yes, but he didn't go inside because he was too dirty now."
"Maybe he stood outside her window," asked Sylvia, who remembered a story where someone did that.
"Yeah, he stood outside her window and he called up, 'Queen Dalmia, it's I, King Claudio. I know you won't like me anymore because I'm so dirty, but I just wanted to say that I still want to marry you.'"
"Oh, can I do this part?"
asked Sylvia.
"Sure," said Martin, who leaned back a little.
"Well, the queen knew that the king was the one who helped with the sheep. And since he was so helpful, she kind of liked him. So she looked out the window and saw that he wasn't in his nice white clothes anymore. Now he was in dark clothes like she liked."
"Oh," said Martin, who just got an idea.
"Except that it was still raining, and as it rained, some of the white part started to show through on his clothes, and the white dog, and..."
Then they both said, "They were both covered in black spots."
"Like a Dalmatian," said Martin with delight.
"And did the king and queen get married?" asked Sylvia quickly.
"Yes," said Martin. "She liked him because he was able to work and get dirty."
"Then it's a Valentine story too. We did it."
"Good job,"
said Martin, who gave Sylvia a high five.
"Great story," called Mama from the living room. "What a wonderful ending."
And then moments later, when Daddy returned from helping their neighbors with their car, Martin and Sylvia told him the rest of the story.
"Now that is a Valentine story," he said.
"And a Dalmatian story,"
said Sylvia.
Oh, and look,
said Martin as he held up a white heart-shaped card with black spots glued all over the top.
Now we can give out Dalmatian Valentines.
The four of them laughed and decided that Dalmatian Valentines would be a new Valentine tradition in their house. Valentines that represented two very different places. One, bright white and fancy, and one, deep black and practical. Coming together in marriage and indeed love.
This has been an original story by Sparkle Stories of sparklestories.com. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. We hope you enjoyed it.